I want to direct your attention to these verses that we read a moment ago. I want to say a couple things first, and then we're going to get down to the text verse there in Psalm 25, verse 4, where the Bible says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths." You know, it seems like there's certain people in the Bible, some people in the Bible, that had a more intimate relationship with God than others. They just seemed to be, as you read the pages of the Bible, you'll run across those people that just seem to be closer to God than others. I think Moses is a good example of that, one example. And again, there's several in the Bible, but Moses seemed to have a relationship with God that was more intimate, that was closer than, say, Aaron did. Even though Aaron was the high priest, even though Aaron got to go into the Holy of Holies once a year and offer the sacrifice of atonement, Moses seemed to have a closer relationship with God than even the high priest did. In Psalm 103, verse 7, here's what the Bible said. He, God, made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. What that verse is saying is that all the children of Israel got to see the acts of God. They got to see the plagues that were worked in Egypt as he convinced Pharaoh to let his people go. The children of Israel got to see God divide the Red Sea and they walked over on dry ground. The children of Israel got to see the manna that fell from heaven. They got to go to that rock and saw the first time Moses strike that rock and water come gushing out, enough water to satisfy the thirst of probably between one and 2 million people came out of a rock. And so the children of Israel got to see the works of God. I mean, they were there and saw when Korah and others rebelled against God's leader, the earth opened up and swallowed them down to the pit, as the Bible tells us. And so the whole nation of Israel, all the children of Israel, got to see the acts of God. But that verse says, he made known his ways unto Moses. You see, Moses not only got to see the acts of God, he got to see the ways of God. We're going to talk about what that word means in just a second. But Moses got to see God and the things that God did that made him God. David, I think, was another example of somebody in the Bible that had a close, intimate relationship with God. In Psalm 25, from where Brother Chuck read a moment ago, in verse 4, David writes this, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths." And I think in that little short 10-word verse is the secret, is the formula, however you want to say it, to having a closer relationship with God. And this morning, those are the people that I want to talk to. I want to talk to every person here that has a desire in their heart, that has a hunger in their soul, that wants to know God in a closer way. Now, I hope that's everybody. I hope every single person here has that desire. I hope every single person here has that longing that says, I want to have a closer relationship with God. Now, if you're not in that category, then just put your head down and you can sleep for the next 30 minutes or so, because I'm not going to say anything to you that will make any difference. Well, it might. I take that back. It might make a difference. You might just want to stay awake and listen anyway. But I want to speak most of all to those folks that want to have a closer relationship with God. Oh, and by the way, this truth that I'm going to share with you this morning will not only help you get closer to God, it'll help you get closer to your spouse. It'll help you get closer to your children. It'll help you get closer to your parents. It'll help you get closer to your friends. This truth that I'm going to share with you this morning about how to get close to God will help you get close to anybody that you want to get close to. The truth in Psalm 25, verse 4 revolves around two words. The words ways and the word paths. The word ways and the word paths. Now let me just tell you as I start out what those two words mean. The word path means the road that you're on. where you are headed, your destination. When I left home this morning to come to church, to come to this place, I drove out of my subdivision. I turned north on Linden Road. I turned east on Hill Road. I took that to US 23 and I turned north on 23, and that hooked up with 75, and they're the same road there. And I took that up to Vienna Road. I turned back east on Vienna Road, went to Jennings Road, turned north on Jennings Road, then turned back east on Lake Road, then turned north on Saginaw, and I was at my destination. I was at church. Now, each of you, Dick and Diane, almost took that route. I mean, I think they come the same way I do on Hill Road. But each of you probably took a different route. You had different streets. You made different turns. But we were all on the same path. We all had the same destination. We were all headed to the same place. We were headed to church. And so we share that path this morning. Now, the word ways means something different. The ways are the things that we do that make us us. They are the I knew I'd get in trouble if I tried to use a big word. They are the idiosyncrasies, that each of us have, that when you put them together, they make us what we are. They are the habits we form. They are the way we do things. For example, let me just take a quick poll this morning. How many of you, when you brush your teeth, squeeze the toothpaste in the middle of the tube? Would you raise your hand? Okay, there are some honest people. Now, how many of you do it the way the Bible says, and you start at the end and roll it up and squeeze the toothpaste neatly? Would you raise your hand? All right, good. Huh? Getting cold? Okay, brother Dave, turn those things off, and we'll try it just with the fans. How you squeeze the toothpaste is an idiosyncrasy. How I squeeze the toothpaste is an idiosyncrasy that each of us have. And it's a habit that we formed. It's a way we do something. That's a way, as the Bible talks about in this verse. And if we're going to get close to God, we not only have to get on the same path that He is, but we have to pray like David, "Oh God, show me Thy ways." Because I not only want to be on the same path that God is, I want to conform myself to His ways. I mean, if I find out, and I know God probably doesn't brush His teeth, but if I find out that God brushes His teeth by squeezing the toothpaste in the middle of the tube, then if I want to get close to Him, if I want to be intimate with Him, I want to squeeze the toothpaste in the middle of the tube just like He does. And if we're going to have a close relationship with Him, we need to get on the same path, head in the same direction, have the same destination, and have His ways. Have His ways in our life. And by the way, that same thing works in any relationship that you have. Now, I'll give you an example of this in a minute. But if you want to get closer to your wife, you make sure you're on the same path. And you, maybe not conform is the right word, but you accept and learn to live with their ways. And again, I'll talk some more about that in just a second. Now, there are four groups of people in the world this morning. I'm going to let these four chairs represent these four groups of people. All right? Four different groups of people. Now, I thought about using people for this illustration, but some of the things I'm going to say wouldn't be nice to say about anybody, so I'm not going to ask anybody to play those roles. So we'll just let these chairs represent these four groups of people. First group of people I want to point out to you this morning are those that are on the wrong path using the wrong ways. They're on the path to hell, and they're living like it. They're on the path that will lead them to spend eternity with the devil, and they're living for the devil as they're on that path. We'll let this chair represent that group of people. They will not have a close relationship with God, nor do they want one. They say by their life, they say by their testimony, that they have no care for God, they have no care for the ways of God, and they have no desire, no longing to have a close and intimate relationship with Him. So, wrong path, wrong ways. There's a second group of people. People that are on the wrong path, but are living the right way. These are people that have never accepted Christ, so they are still on their way to hell. People that have never come to the old rugged cross, so they still face a Christless eternity. But these are pretty good folks. You see, they're decent. They are moral. They do the good things. I mean, they will come to church. They will put their tithe in. They will sing. Maybe some of them even sing in the choir. Maybe some of them pass the offering plates. Maybe some of them hold different offices in churches. They are on the wrong path, but they do the right things. They are kind to people. They tell the truth. They pay their bills. They're a good neighbor. If you look at their life and if you look at the way they are living their life, you would say, hey, that's a decent person. That's a moral person. They are doing the good things that we would expect a decent and moral person to have in their life. But I want to tell you this morning that your ways will not change your path. The fact that you are a good, clean, decent person, the fact that you come to church, the fact that you tithe, the fact that you tell the truth, the fact that you are kind to other people, the fact that you forgive others and forget how they've wronged you will not change your path. You are still on the path to hell, and you, one day when you die, you will split hell right wide open regardless of how the deeds you've done in your life. The Bible says there's only one way to heaven, and that way leads by the old rugged cross. That way leads by Calvary. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, this group of people, if God is over here, let's say God resides over here, this group of people may think, well, I am closer to God than these people that are on their way to hell that live like the devil. But I want to tell you a truth this morning. This group of people who are on the wrong path, who do good things, are no closer to God than this group of people right here. They may feel like they are, but it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter if you do good things, and because you do those good things, you have a warm, fuzzy feeling toward God. I want to tell you something this morning. God doesn't have a warm, fuzzy feeling towards you. You have been disobedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have rejected His Son who came and died for you. And this group of people who are good people, who come to church, who live a clean, decent, moral life, are no closer to our God than this people right here. No closer. Wrong path, wrong ways. Wrong path, right ways. Third group of people. Right path, wrong ways. Right path. They're saved. They've received Christ as their Savior. They know they're going to heaven because they've put their trust in the one who died for them. But they haven't seen the ways of God. And they don't live the ways of God. They come to church, maybe on Easter and Christmas. They hardly ever read this book. They don't tithe. They never help anybody. They're unkind, untruthful, unforgiving. Now, this group of people who's on the right path but the wrong ways, they're a whole lot closer to God than these two groups of people. But they will never have an intimate relationship with their God. Never. Until they get to heaven and get rid of all these ways. But while they are here on earth, this group of people who is on the right path, they've received Christ. They come by the way of the cross. They can never be close and never have an intimate relationship with God as long as they have the wrong ways. Now, let me give you an example. Let me use the example of husband and wife. Okay? Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I married a couple yesterday. First time I ever had it was in the backyard of a farmhouse. Had a nice big tent set up, 120 people, 120 chairs. But over here on the side, there were two emus, two goats, and three pigs. And I never heard pigs oink so much as this during this wedding. But we still married them. They still got married. And I told this couple yesterday, I said, your destination as husband and wife ought to be till death do you part. That's how God set it up. And that's the path, by the way, for every marriage. When you say, and I told them, look, you're going to say I do, you're going to make promises to one another, you're going to make vows to one another, you're going to do it in front of your family, you're going to do it in front of your friends, you're going to do it in front of a preacher, and even though we're not in a church, you are making your vows and your promises this afternoon in front of God. That makes them holy promises. And so you both need to be on the same path. You need to be headed toward the same destination till death do you part. And see, until you get on that same path as husband and wife, you will never have a close relationship. Never. I mean, if you go into marriage as a husband or as a wife and say, well, I'm going to try this thing out, and if it doesn't work, well, that's why they may divorce. Huh? How close of a relationship are you going to have? I dare say, Lauren and Donna Ray are going to celebrate their 49th anniversary. Dwayne and Jean been married how many? 57. And Wanda, how long before you and Clint? 52. And there's probably others that have been married as long or longer. But I dare say that when Brother Clint stood before the Justice of the Peace or Justice of the Peace and made his promises to Wanda, he didn't go into it with the idea, well, if this thing doesn't work, I'll just go down and get a divorce. You can't stay married for 52 years. You can't stay married for 57 years. You can't stay married for 49 years. You can't stay married very long at all if you go into it not being on the same path. I mean, you both have got to decide, hey, I'm making a promise before to you, and I'm making a promise, in most cases, before our family, in most cases, before our friends, but in every case, before God. I told this couple yesterday, I tell every couple I marry, hey, man didn't think up this thing called marriage, God did. Wasn't our idea, it was his idea. He ordained it in the Garden of Eden. And so every marriage, when a husband and a wife or a groom and a bride stand in front of each other and make promises, they are making promises, holy promises, before a holy God, and they need to be on the same path, they need to have the same destination, till death do us part. You say, well, what if I married the wrong person? What if I discover a year or two into marriage that I married the wrong person? And by the way, I know many of you have suffered divorce. I'm not mad at you. I'm not preaching against you. I'm trying to help you with the marriage you're in right now. Okay? But people say, well, what if I married the wrong person? What if I made a mistake? Tough luck. When you said I do, all options went out the window. You say, well, doesn't God allow the divorce in the Bible? Yeah, but you remember what Jesus told them? Only because of the hardness of your heart. That's not how God set it up. God set it up for a husband and a wife to stay together for the rest of their life. And unless you start out, unless you have that same, are on the same path and have the same destination, you're never going to have a close relationship with your spouse. You both have got to say, when I said I do, I said it before God, I mean it before God, and as long as I live, I'm going to keep that promise. That's how you have a close relationship. By being on the same path. But that's only half the secret. Only half the secret. The other part of the secret is understanding that your spouse has certain ways. They have their little idiosyncrasies that make them who they are. And I got, maybe it's a revelation to some of you, you ain't never gonna change them. Never, ever gonna change. Oh, you say, oh, Brother Darrell. Oh, yes, I am. No, you're not. We can go down and sit in divorce court tomorrow, and I'll show you couple after couple that got married and said, I'll change him, or I'll change her. They're doing good if they can get it done. There ain't many of them that get it done. There ain't many of them that get it done. Here, I just use Clint and Wanda because they're close here. Let's say Wanda, I don't know how she does it, now I'm just making this up. Let's say Wanda squeezes the toothpaste in the middle. Don't laugh, many. Let's say that really irks Brother Clint. That he's one of these neat guys that likes to roll it from the bottom and, you know, roll it up so that it stays neat. Not have this toothpaste that looks like somebody strangled it, tried to strangle it. Now, he can say, I'm the man in this house. I buy the toothpaste. And woman, you're going to squeeze it like I tell you to squeeze it. Now, how do you think they're going to get along? Not very good, right, Wanda? Not very good. Let's say that Brother Clint has a tendency, when he goes to bed at night, to drop his socks on the floor. That's where every man knows that's where socks goes, right, Brother Earl? Huh? And let's say Wanda says, Clint, I've told you 100 times, don't put those socks on the floor. That's why they make hampers. Now, if Clint says, I'm the man of this house, I'll put my socks anywhere I want to, you think they're going to have a close relationship? No. How do you have a close relationship? I realize that she squeezes the toothpaste in the middle. She does so many other good things for me, it don't make any difference where she squeezes the toothpaste. He has a tendency to drop his socks on the floor, but he does so many other good things and loves me so many other ways, it doesn't make any difference where he puts his socks. That's how you have a close relationship. You're on the same path, and you acknowledge each other's ways, and you learn to live with them. Now, in the same way, that's how we have a close relationship with God. We get on the same path. We head toward heaven because we come to the cross and we receive Christ as our Savior. And then we pray like David, O Lord, show me thy ways. And instead of trying to change God, I want to tell you something this morning. God is more stubborn than your spouse is. And by the way, God is more opinionated than your spouse is. God has an opinion about everything. You never go to God and say, God, what do you think about this? And he says, well, I never have thought about that. God's thought about everything, and he's put his opinion in a book. And we can know God's opinion about every single thing. And instead of trying to change God, instead of trying to say, God, I don't think you should do it this way, or I don't think you should be like this, why don't we just say, God, show me your ways, and I will conform myself to your ways. And the men in the Bible and the people today that have had a close relationship with God are people that have got on the same path that he's on and said, God, you show me your ways, and I am going to submit, I am going to conform myself to your ways. That's what Moses did. That's what David did. And the times in their life when they got sideways with God are when they took matters into their own hand and disobeyed this book and said, I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it my way. Well, you might say this morning, well, I like that. Sounds pretty good. What are some of God's ways? What are some of the things that make God God. I want to give you five of them. This is my message. It's been an introduction all up to now, but this is my message. Five of God's ways that if you want to have a close personal relationship with Him, first of all, you got to be on the same path. Can't have a relationship with God without one with Jesus Christ. Can't be on the same path that God is without coming to the cross and receiving Christ. But if you're a Christian this morning because you've received Christ and you want to have a closer relationship with God, let me give you some suggestions about some of His ways that you ought to conform yourself to. Number one, God magnifies this book. God magnifies the Bible. God loves the Bible. In the Bible it says that He has magnified this book more than His name. There's no name like the name of God. There's no name like the name of Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him," talking about Jesus, "and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow." And so He's exalted His names, the name of Christ. The names of God are exalted. And yet in this book, the Bible says that God has held up this book, has exalted this book above His name. God loves the Bible. That's one of His ways. That's one of the things that makes Him God. And if we're going to have a close, intimate relationship with God, then we've got to love the Bible the same way that God does. We've got to love it. Don't tell me you love your Bible if you haven't read it this week. That's a strange kind of love. Don't tell me you love your Bible if it's laid on the coffee table until you picked it up to come to church this morning. If you love the Bible, you're gonna wake up in the morning with an anticipation. Hey, I get to read the Word of God. I get to read the Bible. I'm going to memorize a verse today. I get to meditate on something I read yesterday. I love this book. We ought to love this book. And if we're gonna have a personal, intimate, close relationship with God, we need to hold this book in the same love that He does. Number two. God loves sinners. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants that so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross in the place of every sinner. He wants that so much that He sent His Son to be the payment for every sin of every sinner. God doesn't want sinners to go to hell. He wants us all to go to heaven. And that is the heartbeat of God. We're going to talk about that more tonight. That is the heartbeat of God. That's why Jesus came. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we are not going to have a close, intimate relationship with God until we have that same desire. Until we have that same longing that no sinner should go to hell. No sinner should face eternal damnation. We have the key out of that. We have the way out of that. And that way is Jesus Christ. Number three. God loves the poor, the unwanted, and the unloved. God loves widows. God loves orphans. God loves the elderly. God loves the homeless. God loves those that have a hard time taking care of themselves. In the Bible, He says, "Don't you mess with these people because I will be their defender. You mess with them, I will defend them. You'll have to face Me." And God loves those people. And I would ask us this morning, I ask myself, I ask each one of you, how much do we love them? How much do we love the widows? How much do we love the homeless? How much do we love the orphans? How much do we love those that can't take care of themselves? I will tell you that we will not have a close relationship with God. We will not have that intimate relationship that Moses had, that David had, that Saul had, Paul had, that others had in the Bible, until we take on the ways of our God, until we conform our ways to His ways, until we love the Bible, until we exalt it above anything else, until we love sinners, until we love those that God loved. We cannot have a relationship with Him. Number four, God forgives. God says, "I forgive you. And by the way, I not only forgive you, but I've forgotten what you've done." those words, I forgive, are foreign to many of us. Instead, we say, I'll get you. You did me wrong, I'll get you wrong, I'll get revenge. I'll pay you back. I tell you what, I'm glad God doesn't say that to me. Aren't you glad he doesn't say it to you? He says, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. How many times? 7 times. Remember, Peter asked Jesus, not 7 times, 7 times 70, and then put more on top of that. How much do we forgive? We will not have a close, intimate relationship with God until we can forgive like he forgives. And then number 5, God puts up with those who he has the power to put down. Now think about this. God puts up with those whom he has the power to put down. Do you know that if God wanted to, he could find Saddam Hussein and kill him in a second? If God wanted to, he has the power that he knows where bin Laden is, and he could kill him in a second. Fidel Castro, how long has he been in power down in Cuba? That's right, not too long. If God wanted to, he could put him down in a second. The crazy guy that runs Libya, been in power a long time. If God wanted to, he could put him down. He has the power to put him down, but he puts up with them. Say, why? I don't know. He's God. I can't explain it to you. But I know this, God has the power. If he wanted to, he could remove him from power in a second. He could kill him in a second. He could put him down in a second. But he puts up with them. Why can't we put up with the petty things that people do to us? Ooh, you're getting a little personal now, preacher. You should have just quit after point 4. I could buy into all that other stuff. Why can't we put up with the petty things people do to us? I was talking to a lady at the wedding yesterday. She said, you know, I like all that stuff that you said to these two about a marriage lasting a lifetime, but I'm ready to divorce my husband. I said, why? Listen to this. She said, he takes my steak knives out and digs weeds with them. I said, what's wrong with that? Those are our steak knives. Those are the things we eat with. I said, are these, you know, $30 or $40 a piece steak knives? Are they real expensive? She said, oh, no, I bought them at Walmart for $1.25. I reached in my wallet and I said, here's $1.25. Let your husband have a steak knife and you stay married. You say, that's silly. I'll tell you what. I have known brothers and sisters that have not spoken to each other for something far less than $1.25. I have known children and parents not to speak to one another for something far less than $1.25. I have known people in the same church that go to war with each other over something far less than $1.25. And I say to us this morning, why can't we put up with things, the petty things that people do to us, like God puts up with us? And if I am going to have, and if you are going to have, a close, intimate relationship with God, we've not only got to get on the same path, we have to conform ourselves to His ways. His ways. And then we can have that close, intimate relationship like Moses and like David and like others in the Bible had. And by the way, again, it'll work for you as husband and wife. It'll work for you as brother and sister, or brother and brother, or sister and sister. It'll work between parents and children. It'll work. Same thing. Same thing. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. It all starts by getting on the same path. It all starts by coming to Calvary and seeing there the Son of God who died for each one of us. You cannot have a close relationship with God until you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And I would invite you in just a moment. We're going to bow our heads. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song. We call it an invitation. I invite you to receive Jesus as your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the instruction that comes from your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives us. I pray that every single person here that knows Jesus would have a desire in their heart to be closer to you. I pray, Father, that we would understand that that doesn't come without a price. It doesn't come without us getting on the same path and having the same ways. And so I pray that you'd speak to every Christian, you'd show us things in our life that don't parallel your ways. And then, Father, change us. We can't change ourselves, but you can change us. And I pray that you'd work change in people's lives this morning. And then I pray for those that don't know Jesus. I pray they'd see their sin. I pray they'd see there's no other way to get that sin taken care of but by coming to Christ. And I pray right now in this moment, that they would say yes to Jesus. That they would make that decision to receive him. Make it so, dear God. For it's in Christ's name we pray.